Okay, the Rabbeinu, today's daf is daf Lamed Vav, two times Chai. And we're up to the very first word on top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, where the Gemara begins, Hosam Tanan. Okay, we just started on a new sugya at the very end of Lamed Hey Amud Beis. Let's just try to review it quickly. Let's first take a look at the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, Lamed Hey Amud Beis. Mashilin Peiros Derech Aruba Biyomtiv. What happens if you have Peiros on the roof, which are drying in the sun, which was very common in those times, and unfortunately you saw that it was about to start raining, so you're allowed to go be mashal. You're allowed to lower those Peiros through the skylight from the roof downstairs on Yomtiv, but not on Shabbos. And it says in the Mishnah, Mechasen Peiros Bekelim, you're also allowed to go and cover Peiros with Kelim, Nehadlaf, Nehadelef. Dlaf means because of a leak. You see that there's a leak and the water is going to get on the Peiros and it's going to spoil them. You're allowed to cover them over with a Kli. I see, Barry, you have a question already.
No.
The same thing applies not only to Peiros, but also to barrels of wine and barrels of oil. And the Gemara is going to ask, why do we need to talk about the Yain and Shemen? We already spoke about the Peiros. And finally, if you see there's a leak and you want to protect your property, what you can go and do is put a Kli, like a bucket or a basin, under where the leak is, so that the leak should not spread and shouldn't cause damage. Now, the Mishnah just began by saying that you're mashal peiros. It doesn't say what the volume or quantity of the peiros. So the Gemara on the bottom of the Amud reminded us of a Mishnah in Masechtas Shabbos, where there too you're allowed to move things out of the way. What was the situation over there? You had, for instance, a besmedrish where there weren't enough seats. Baruch Hashem, many people wanted to come to besmedrish on Shabbos, or you invited many guests and you don't have room unless you go and move certain things away. So it said in the bottom of the Amud, six lines at the bottom, a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, Mefanin means you're allowed to move or remove, Arba v'chamish kupois, four or five boxes of Tevin and Tvuah, so we see that the quantity that you're allowed to move out of the way are these four or five kupais of teven or of tvua. And the Gemara asks, is that the same rule here too? That when we say that you can go and lower the peiros, is it also a quantity of four or five boxes, perhaps more, perhaps less? And the Gemara went through a shakra zataria, and the Gemara was not poshit the shaila of what the volume is. And the Gemara is going to continue now with three more shailas, all based on the parallel between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos. And the Gemara wants to know, are the rules the same or not? So the Gemara says at the very top of the Amid, Hosam Tanan. There back in Masechta Shabbos we learned that although you're allowed to go and remove four or five boxes of Tvua or of Tevin, what happens if the boxes were lying in an Oitzer? Oitzer means a storage bin, storage place. And if you're going to, what happens if you have more than, let's assume that the four or five, after you're mafana them, guess what happens? Now the whole oitzer is empty, and as a result of being empty, you see now the floor for the first time in days, weeks, months, years, because all of the boxes that were previously have been removed. And now when you see the floor, you notice, the floor has certain potholes to the right, to the left, up, down, back and forth. Remember, we're not talking about floors in homes or in storage bins like we have today, where you have wood or linoleum or whatever, or tiles. Nowadays, as you know, typically when you look at the floor, the times of Chazal, the floor was typically a dirt floor. So if you've taken all these boxes out and you find that there are potholes, there is the chashash, you might come li ashvuye gumais. Ashvuye gumais means to try to go and flatten out all of the holes in the ground and fill up where there happens to be a hole, and perhaps to level off where there seems to be a mound. So there is that concern in Masechtas Shabbos. Avaloyes Oitzer, don't go and clear out the entire Oitzer, because you might come then to smooth out the floor. If you went to smooth out the floor, that in itself is a shayla, exactly what the Isser is, whether it's a tolda of being bona. That's if it's inside a house. If it's outside of a house, it would be possibly a tolda of choresh, of plowing. But the bottom line is, don't remove all of the kupois if as a result the total floor now becomes revealed. V'yom Shmuel, what's avaloyitz? My avaloyitz oitzer, avaloy yigmar es oitzer kulay. Don't go and clear out the entire oitzer, meaning those four or five kupois. You're not supposed to take more than four or five kupois. But what happens if the entire oitzer consisted of four or five kupois? Then don't take out all of four or five. Because you might come to flatten out any holes in the floor. So Frank Dimar Hachamai, what's the din over here? There's some background noise. Please, everybody, put yourselves on mute. Please be so kind and gracious. It says, Yimar, Hachamai, what's the din over here? Meaning, I go to the gag, I go to the roof, I find over there all of those payers, and if I'm going to remove all of the payers, and I'm going to go and send them down the skylight, I might notice that on the roof, there are also parts which are not totally level. And therefore I might also come li ashvuye gumais. So do I have that same chshash, that same problem there too? It's hochamai. So what's the shayla? Ha'asim hu b'shabbos y'asim mishim d'chomer. Shabbos, of course, is very, very chomer. As we all know, if a person violates Shabbos b'mezid, chas hashom skila or kores, b'shogeg has to bring korban chatos. So therefore, we make all types of gezeiros and chashoshos. We want to make sure a person doesn't come la'ashavuye gumais. So don't clear out the entire oitzer. Av yontif the kill, after all, yontif is much more kal in terms of the onesh. If a person violates yontif chas hasholem, then he gets malkis. If he did a b'shogeg, there is no stipulated carbon or onesh for him. So obviously it's much more kal. Ishabadami, so maybe you are allowed to remove all of the peyrois from the entire roof, even though maybe there's a svara to be choshesh vashvuye gumais, since it's only yontif, the chachamim were not goyzer. Oy dilma, maybe, hasim de ikabitl bismedish amrislai, make a zakal vachoymer, madach legabe bitl bismedish, we said, I know we need more seats. We need more seats because people have come in droves on this Shabbos to go and learn in the Bais Medrash. There's no room. But nevertheless, don't remove all of the boxes. Leave one box behind so we don't have this cheshash of a shvuya gumais. Even though this is chas v'sholom going to cause, there'll be people that won't be able to sit down by a table. They'll have to be standing. Or might not be room at all. Here we don't have chash or bitl bismedish. We only have a problem that the payers might get ruined, but there's no problem bitl bismedish. So certainly I should say, don't remove all of the boxes because you might come lashviyeh gomais. So that was one shayla. And now we have another shayla. By uns in the Mishnah it says, Mashilim peiros derech aruba biyomtiv. You lower the payers through the skylight. The Yom Rav Nachman, lo yishonu ela ba'oyisei agag. That's only on that particular roof. Amigag legag loy, but not from one gag to another gag. In other words, what happens if your roof doesn't have a skylight? You don't have such as a fancy schmancy house, and so therefore there is no skylight. But your next door neighbor has a much nicer home, which does have a skylight. And the two roofs are exactly on the same level, so it's really very little of an additional tircha. In fact, Rashi says there's no additional tircha. Instead of taking all of my fruit and lowering them through my skylight, I say to my neighbor, Yankel Smith, Yankel, you're such a wonderful neighbor. Would you mind if I lowered my fruit through your skylight? Presumably just like Yankel is lowering his fruit through his skylight. Says the Gemara, the Tanya Mihochi, Ein metalt l'migag l'gag, afilu ki kishagag oisei en shoven. No, we do not allow for that. Why don't we? Because that's already additional tircha. If I'm lowering it from my own skylight, no nishgeferlich. But to go and take it over to Yanko, even though the Kagvesei and Shavois, the Gemara said, Dushenisht. That's already too much tircha for Yatav. So, Freitimor Hasamai, what would be the halacha legabe Shabbos, legabe the Bismedrish and the Orchim? Hachu the Asamishum Yontif to kill. Here we're talking about Yontif, which is relatively kal compared to Shabbos. The Asal Zuzulebe. And therefore the Chum were concerned. Oh, the person might be mizalzel. If I'm going to allow him to go and take the payers from my gag and take him to Yankel's gag, oh, that's a gamsa tircha. And nevertheless, the chachamim were mekel. So then, probably there are other areas of halacha where the chachamim were also mekel on yontif. Aba Shabbos chamira. Shabbos, which is so chomer, everybody's concerned about Chas v'Sholem not being over in Hilchah Shabbos, Shabbadami. Maybe the Chacham said, in such a case, you could go and be mafana the kupois, migag legag, or from one place to another. Even though there's more tircha involved, but I don't have to worry about the people going to be mezalzel, because after all, it's Shabbos Kodesh. Yeah, so you can go and do that additional tircha. Or maybe just the opposite. Mahocha, the ikhefsid payers. Here we're talking about if you don't allow the person to lower the payers through his neighbor's skylight, he's going to lose money. And nevertheless, says Imar Amris Lo'i, we do not allow for that additional tircha. If you have a skylight, it's fine, but you cannot schlep your payers to your next door neighbor and lower it through his skylight. So madach is a hefsid moment, Amris Lo'i, hosam delek hefsid moment, payers. There we're not talking about losing money. They were just talking about making room for people to sit down, whether it's Orchim or whether it's people in the Besmedish. We should not permit moving the kupois mi bayis la bayis or mi gag la gag from one place to another. So once again, we have a good shaila in terms of the parallel halacha between the gag with the peyrois and the place with the bitul Besmedish and the Orchim. And we have a final shayla, hocha, here's his tanah, it's really hocha tanya, by unstayt, by an our mesechta, lo yishal shalem, in other words, in a braisa, lo yishal shalem bechevel bechaloinis, velo yiridim derech sulamis. We mentioned this already yesterday, that the whole heter is if you have a skylight. What happens if you don't have a skylight? But from the roof down to the first floor, you do have a staircase. Or in the wall that is surrounding the gag, as you know, you have to have a marker. So instead of putting up a fence, he has a professional wall, which is at least 10 tefachim tall, and that wall has in it windows, so you can go and pick up the window. So instead of sending the payers down through the skylight, what would be if I would send the payers through some sort of makeshift elevator? In other words, I would take, let's say, a large box or bucket, attach it to a rope, and then lower down the payers in that rope through the window. So it says the Braisa Yishal Shalem, you're not allowed to go and let down the payers bechevel with a rope, bechaloynis with the windows, for you read them derech sulamois, or take them down through a ladder. Rashi says when we use the term ladder, is lav dafka. The word ladder means anything that allows you to lower yourself, if you will, from the roof to down below. So that would include, says Rashi, for instance, even ramps or even staircases. We're just saying, instead of using an aruba, can you use any other exit hatch to save the payers? And the answer is no. Hasamai, so what would be the din? The gabe shabbos. Here it's also to leka bitul besmedish. There's no bitul besmedish involved. And therefore we say, don't allow the payers to be taken down or lowered through windows and through staircases, through ramps. Maybe we would allow for you to do a little bit more tircha. We want people to learn. especially all those people that haven't learned the daf yet. We want to give them an opportunity to join the daf and sit down and learn the Beis Medrash. So maybe we would allow for being mafana through using extra special method, not just through an aruba, but through chaloynis and sulamis. I do mahachadikhefs and payers amris loy. Madach over here with his hefsid mamon. You're losing money every moment as it's going to rain and it's going to spoil all of your payers. Nevertheless, the chacham didn't allow you to go and lower it except through the aruba. Hasid lekhefs and payers. There's no hefsid mamon involved. It's like kolshkev, chabad rabada. They would not allow you to go and be mafana the kupais through using staircases or windows or the rest. So Timora Teiku, on all of the foregoing shilas, the first one that we started off with on the bottom of the Amid Beis, can you say that halacha of the 3-4 kupais applies to us as well, or only to the case of Shabbos with the Orchim and the Bittul Beis Medrash? And then the other three shilas which we just spoke about this morning, about Avaloyis HaOitzer, clearing out the entire Oitzer, because you might come Lashvuya Gumais, whether or not you can go and take Migag Ligag. Here you cannot. What's Halacha Legabe Shabbos? Or the final case of lowering the payers through the Chaloynis, which is prohibited in our case. But what about in the case of Bittul Beis Medrash and the case of the Orchim? Says he, when all of these cases, Teiku Tishbi Yitat. So even though these two cases are nice in terms of their parallel, but not necessarily do they all have the same din. So to more about we said in our Mishnah, you're allowed to go and take a kli. Today they would call it a tarp, some plastic cover, and cover over the payers to protect them from either the rain or from the dlaf, from the leak. Omar Ula Vafila Avir Delivni. We had Avir Delivni, if you remember, a few days ago. Avir Delivni means you have a bunch of bricks which have not had any cement placed between the bricks. And that's why they're called Avir HaLivni. There's Avir between the bricks. Where did we have this? We had this in the case of, you had a sealed house, and there were payers inside the house. You remember that if some of the bricks fell out, so the Tanakama, you can extract the payers. They're not mukta. And a mayor says you're even allowed to go and remove the bricks lechatchila. And the Gemara said, how can you move bricks? That's stira. That would be l'cholapachas, either an issa d'araisa, if it's soiser almanas livnois, or it's asa midrabanan, because you're mekalkel. How can you remove the bricks? And you remember the Gemara says, we're talking about Avir Delivni, that the bricks were there for the taking, so to speak, because there was no cement, pitch, tar, or whatever between the bricks, and that's called the Avir Delivni. So Gemara is talking about, therefore, brand new bricks, which you intend using for construction. There is no tzorech in terms of food, because these are just bricks. The question is, does the din of our Mishnah that you can go and protect your payers extend to even things which are muktzah? I'm not going to even go and move these bricks on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, because they're muktzah, machmas, chisar, and kis. These are valuable bricks. And does the shayla for the Gemara Ula says, yes, you're allowed to cover even these unused bricks which are ready, willing, and able for construction, even though they're mukts. Rabbi Yitzchakama Peters Uyin. Peters you can, but not for Avira the Livni. Why not? Because as Rabbi Yitzchak Letamidim, Rabbi Yitzchak Ain Kli Nitl Eladover Anitl Mishabbos. We've had this Rabbi Yitzchak before. That Rabbi Yitzchak says that if the original item is mukta, you're not allowed to go and protect it by using a kli which is not mukta. In other words, the original Livni, the original bricks, are muktzah. To go and cover them with something which is not muktzah, that you're not allowed to do. Enkli nitl, eladover nitl b'shas. Now the Gemara is going to try to bring rayas to Ula and Reb Yitzchak, which of course in each case will be a kasha on the other mandiyama. Ula says very clearly, you can go and cover over even things which are muktzah, and Reb Yitzchak says no. Because ain't clean little, el adover little b'shabbos. So two more tadan. Let's go to the Mishnah. Mechasen is a peiris b'kelim. Peiris. Samasha peiris in Avir Livni Loi. Because if even allowed to go and cover bricks, shouldn't the Mishnah have told us a greater chiddush? Not only that you can go and cover peiris, but you can even go and cover bricks, which are muktzah. is the chayra raya to Rabbi Yitzchak, only peyrois and not a virin to livni. Every muhuad in the avodah livni, even a virin livni, you can also go and cover. I did turn a reishim hashilim peyrois, turn a sefer nan mechasid as a peyrois. If you go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, the first word is Mashilin, and the next word is Peirois. So since we're talking about Peirois, then the Mishnah continues on. You can also cover over Peirois Nehadlaf because of a leak at home. But really, it doesn't only apply to Peirois. It applies to anything, even things which are Muktzah. We just want to use the same term for symmetry in style and in words. So let's bring another right. Tonight, let's continue on in the Mishnah. Same thing applies to barrels of wine and of shemen. Again, somebody, please put yourselves on mute because there's some background noise. Zat Moichel, please do us a favor. Put yourselves all on mute. It's tonight. The same thing applies. Why do we have to give a case of kadi yayin v'kadi shemen? After all, kadi yayin v'kadi shemen is just another case like paradise. Why didn't they give a case of levainim? Levainim being bricks, which of course are mukta. That would be a much bigger chiddush. And here I cannot say, well, since I said peiris, I say peiris again. I didn't say kadi yayin v'kadi shemen until now. So if the Mishnah wants to say, this is not only halacha that applies to peiris, but to other things, so don't talk about other food items, talk about mukta items. Is the chayra mashma like Rabbi Yitzchak? Every mahalam ha'iskina betivla. Einachanami the kadi yayin v'kadi shemen were take mukta because they were tevel. Oh, so that's not a case just like that here in the living. Hachanam mistava, I'll bring you a raya. If you think we're talking about normal barrels of wine and barrels of oil, hatanale reisha peiros. The Mishnah already told us the case of food items. You think there's a difference between food, between solids and liquids? Food is food is food. So kari yayin v'kari shemel is shrichalei. I mean, let the Mishnah then continue on. And the same thing applies to tomatoes, and the same thing applies to potatoes, and the same thing applies to fish, and to meat, and eggs. I mean, once you have established the rule that when potatoes are in danger, you're allowed to go and save them, so then that applies across the board. Peiris is lav davka, you know, oranges and apples. Peiris means all types of produce. So why do they have to say kadi yayin v'kadi shemen? Is the charaya we're talking about that they're tevel and that they're muktzah? Zukti yimara kadi srichalei. Zukti yimara nishkarai. It could very well be the kadi yayin v'kadi shemen are of normal wine and normal shemen. Ah, you asked, why did we go and bring this as yet another example in the Mishnah? If you're talking about potatoes which are drying on the roof, and it's going to rain on them, it's going to unfortunately ruin that entire crop, and you could lose a fair amount of money. Mashenken, if you're talking about the kadim, you're talking about these barrels of wine and of shemen, what's the maximum that can happen is a couple of drops will pierce and get through the wood or the lid of these barrels and enter into the wine and into the shemen. Okay, for all those great wine connoisseurs that are really experts on wine, they'll be able to tell the difference between the wine that has that slight dilution of a couple of drops of water. Same thing on the shemen, it won't be totally shemen zayezach, it'll only be 98%. Okay, so I would think that's the mu'at loichashishu. You're only talking about pennies, you're talking about a relatively insignificant amount of money. So maybe the chachamim said, no, don't go and take kalim to cover it. Kamashim alam, that even if it's a hefsed mu'at, the chacham allowed you to go and cover it on yantav. So tonight, let's go and bring another riot. No yisnin kli tachas edlaf or tachas edelef b'shabbos. You're allowed to go and put a bucket, a basin under the leak to go and capture the water that is leaking. Nu, the assumption is that that dlaf, since it's going through the roof or through the walls or whatever, it's probably dirty water. That being dirty water, you won't be able to drink it. It's basically muktza water. The Gemara is going to say in the Amid Beis, you're allowed to pour it out, but that's nishkakasha because it's graf shorei. But anyway, the point is, the Gemara assumed in the Havamina that this dlaf, this water leakage, is unusable. If it's unusable, so then it's just like the case of the Avir Delivni, which is also muktzah. That's muktzah machmas chsor kis. This is muktzah machmas mius. But the point is that you see that you're allowed to go and take a kli, even the dover she'enoi nitl. Is the chayr aray again to Rabbi Yitzchak, aray to Ula, that says, afila avir delivni, even things which are muktza, you're allowed to cover. You see, you're allowed to take a kli for the tlaf. Every morrow we're talking about the tlaf haroi. Tlaf haroi means not like you had in the premise of your question, that it is muktza machmas mias because you can't use this water, it's shmutzik. No. It's talking about that the water that came through is pure and is golden. Rashi says, ru'uyin lebehema. Maybe a person wouldn't drink it, but animals can drink it because it in fact happens to be clear water or relatively clear. So, vaita, it's not muktza. It's just like the case of peiros. Vaita, no raya. Istar Shema, let's try to bring another raya. From a braisa, porsa machtzelus el gabi levenim b'shabbos. Ooh, this is l'choyre directly on point. You're allowed to take a machtzelus. Machtzelus is a mat. Today we would call it a tarp, or a chvaisa, a plastic sheet, or whatever. And you can go and point this, you can go and spread that out, el gabi levenim, on Shabbos, on top of the bricks, to go and protect them. Now that's the very case we're talking about, the avir delivni, where Ula says, yeah, that's permissible. And here it says it's permissible. L'choyre l'shtar karay to Ula. It's a kasha on Rabbi Yitzchak. Everyone is talking about bricks. The Yatami Binyana, the Chazlem Nizga Alayu, as opposed to the Shaila that was posed, which was talking about brand new bricks at a brand new construction site, where all of those bricks are Muktzah Machmas Chasar and Kis. Here we're talking about the construction is over. It took 5 years. Yes, the original plan was it should only take a month, but because of government bureaucracy, it took 5 years. But finally, Baruch Hashem, they finished the construction, and we're left over with 25 or 50 bricks. Okay, so those 25 or 50 bricks, says Yomara, Chazil Mizga Alayu, although the owner probably still wants them, especially if he stacks them up nicely, but there is no great urge or need for these bricks because they're basically what we would say, they're shirayim. These are the remainders, the leftovers. Chazal Mizgalayu, in fact, people, until the owner decides to move them on, some people will sit on them, some people will lie on them, they'll lean on them, and therefore they're no longer mukta. So they're like the case of peiros. So you have no raya to ula, that even by avir delivery, the fresh bricks, here we're talking about the residue bricks, you know, you brought 10,000 to the construction site and we got 25 left over. Toshimat, let's try to bring another item. Porisim Machtzelus al gabi avonim b'shabbos. Oh, if you have stones, presumably these stones have some value, and that's why you're covering them. So you're allowed to go and cover the machtzelus on the stones. Well, stones are certainly mukta. Everybody knows that. Evdimor b'avonim b'kuzolus t'chazi l'beis ha'kisei. We're not talking about just any stone. Any stone presumably doesn't need to cover or preserve. Here we're talking about these sharpened stones, which can be used in the beis ha'kisei. In the good old days before they had toilet paper. So these are valuable. Oh, but these are not muktzah. These are stones that people use. So baita, it's similar to the peiros, no raya. Toshima, next raya. Porisim machzelus l'gabi kaveris devoirim b'shabbos. Oh, a kaveris devoirim is a bienenstock. A bienenstock in English is a beehive. You're allowed to go and take a machzelus and put it over the beehive on Shabbos. Becham ne'achama to protect the beehive from the sun. Or b'ksham ne'achsham to protect it from the water, from the rain. Be careful. If you do a good enough job in covering over this beehive, you might not leave an exit hatch for the bees to leave. And so then you're going to be over on Seder. So be careful. Don't be mechabalot. Even worse comes to worse, if you weren't sod, you captured all of the bees inside. But don't be mechaven lotzud. The Gemara is going to focus momentarily on Reb Shimon and on Reb Yehuda, because it says Dabush Einim Eschavin. We'll get back to this. But anyway, what do I see from this? That you're not allowed, you are allowed to put the machzelis on the beehive. How can you do that? The Gemara assumes in the Havamina that the only things in the beehive are the bees. The bees are basically muktzah because it's a balchayim. Balchayim is dinikin pi mishtamish for balchayim. And you have no use for the bees, presumably in terms of touching them or holding them or moving them. So they're muktzah. And it says that you're allowed to go and cover over the beehive to protect the bees. is the charaya to ula akasha under Yitzchak. Everything mahasa namad yikadvash. We're not protecting the bees. I'm protecting the honey. Oh, honey, of course, is not muktzah. That's a dobra mutter. That's like the pay rice. That's why I'm allowed to go and cover it. Only Rav Ukva Mimeshim Rav Ashi. Hotei Rav Moisecham Adikat Vash. The Moisek Sham Ma'ikal Meimer. Remember that the Brisa said you can be poitis machzeles b'chamam ne'achamah b'ksham ne'achshamah. So during the summer months, yes, in fact, there is honey inside those beehives because, as you know, bees were able to manufacture the honey by taking from the pollen and doing whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them the seichel and the ability to take the pollen and to somehow convert it into honey. That's only during the summer. During the winter, when it's freezing and when it's raining and when it's cold, they don't have the possibility of that new pollen to go and manufacture honey. And we sit over here, the Kshamim and the Akshamim, even during the winter days. Note, by the way, it doesn't say Yemois Aksham. It says Bigshamim Liaksham. The Gemara is going to be medayik that on the Omid Beis. We'll see that shortly. But anyway, the point is, during the winter, where there is no honey inside the beehive, so then the only thing you're protecting are the bees, the chayr is the charaya that you can go and protect something, even if it's a muktzah item or a miktzah bee. We're talking about that inside the beehive there are two honeycombs, that those honeycombs still have in them honey. And the reason why the honeycombs have in them honey is, like the Gemara is going to say in another moment, is so that the bees should be able to survive the long winter. Because from one summer to the next summer, they basically hibernate inside the beehive, and they need something to eat, and there's no pollen to manufacture any more honey. So the balabas, whoever owns the beehive, typically leaves over two honeycombs for the bees so they have something to eat. So that already is food, and therefore, right, it's not muktzah. What are you talking about? Because after all, the reason why you left the honey in the honeycombs is for the use of the bees, not for the use of the bnei odom of human consumption. We're talking about a situation where before Shabbos he already thought about the honey in the beehive, and he said, you know what, there aren't that many bees left, I only have 5 bees, I have enough honey over there for 25 bees, so I'm going to go and take some of that honey. Yes, Barry.
Is it removing honey on Shabbos?
It's a very good question. Very good question. The Gemara, in fact, in the Masechtas Shabbos talks about that. Yes, we're talking about a situation where the honey has already been unleashed or removed from the honeycombs. They're still inside the hive, but it's no longer a mechubah lekarka, so to speak. So it must be a situation where it's tolush and not mechubah. Otherwise, you're right, you have a mechubah lekarka situation. So Zokti Morris is talking about that he had removed the honey already from the honeycombs. They're just waiting there, like in a plastic bag, so to speak, and all he needs to just do is remove it, and he already had that in mind from before Shabbos, so therefore it's no longer muktzah, and it's covered up. What would be the din if he didn't have a machshav about this honey? My osur lechayr would be osur. Why? Because it's muktzah. It's afraid to my adatani. Why does the brisa continue on and say, Ugavad, be careful! Shlo yiskav alatzud. Don't be mechavin to chas v'sholom go and capture the bees. Lithik listen to the dove. Forget about capturing that seder. Let's talk about the hilchois beehive itself. When are you allowed to go and cover over the beehive with a plastic, with a tarp, a machzeles to protect it from the chama or from the kshamim? The stavke shechish or in. Particularly Neyaksham during the winter, because he had intended using that honey, and therefore it is no longer muktzah. Why? Because it's muktzah. So we don't have to talk about the potential problems with tzedah. We have a potential problem with the muktzah aspect of covering over this beehive in the first place. Says Yimar Nishka Kasha, Hochikama, Avu Bishachisha Valeim. Even though he had a machshava that he intends using the honey, so I thought to myself, okay, I'm home free. I have no problem. I can go and cover over these beehives, this beehive with a tarp, with a machzeles. Oh, but Vashvi's Kamalotza, be careful. Don't be mechavin to go and catch the bees inside, because if you're mechavin to catch the bees inside, you'll have a separate issue of Meleches Seder. Okay, so far so good, but now the Gemara analyzes this brisa in greater detail. Obviously, this brisa must be talking about Kirab Yehuda, the Islay Mutza. What's so obvious? Because we started off the whole discussion and saying, oh, yeah, I got a problem, because the bees are Mutza, or it's winter months and there's no honey. No, there's honey in the honeycomb, but that honey in the honeycomb, that's Mutza. What do you need to come on to all these daichik turutz? Why don't you want to simply say it goes a libid Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon doesn't hold a din of mukta, and if you hold like Reb Shimon, then you don't have the issue whatsoever. There's no problem with the bees, and no problem with the honey and the two honeycombs. Zaytzuchos that the Gemara held in this discussion can be huda dislay mukta. If that's the case, ema sefer umavachi is chavon lots. Be careful, don't have kavana to be tzad. But as long as you don't have kavana, you're off the hook. That's according to Reb Shimon. The Yom Tov Shein Mischaben is Mutter. Because according to Reb Yehuda, Tov Shein Mischaben is Asur. And so therefore, the discussion in the Gemara sounds like that the Reish is going according to Reb Yehuda, and the Seif is going according to Reb Shimon. Does that make sense? Great Gemara Tizbara, Reb Shimon. Even if you want to say it's going according to Reb Shimon, even that doesn't work. If you're going to go and put the Machzelis on the beehive in such a way that there is no entrance or exit available for the bees, that's not a question of, oh, I wasn't scavenging lots of it. It's psikreshe. These bees are stuck. They will not be able to leave. And therefore, avada be over in din of tzot. So what is this ubischad shalis chavim? Who cares about your kavana, your kavana nish? Psikreshe is also according to Reb Shimon. The whole price goes according to Reb Yehuda. If it goes according to Reb Yehuda, is a shver. Why did Sebel Vachuli iskaven lotzit? Even if he's not miskaven, after Reb Yehuda holds the dover sheini miskaven is asur. So what difference is it? Your kavana, nish kavana, it's asur. So Yivach Ma'iskinim the ispei kevi. Kevi means literally, kevi means windows in Aramaic. Here it really doesn't mean windows so much. It just means other small holes in the beehive so that the bees have other entrance or exit ways or strategies besides the major hole of the beehive where it's covered over by the machzelis. And therefore, v'loitayma, don't say according to Yehuda the words v'vachli iskabalotzim. Those words are inappropriate because according to Yehuda, the kavona is lomalev and lomorid. After all, Rabbi Yehuda holds that davishin v'schaben is also v'loitayma, but rather say a few words differently. V'vachli asena mitzuda. Be careful that you don't cover over all of the holes and make this beehive now into a trap for all of the bees. Because if you do that, then you'll be over on the Isser of Tzod, which we know is one of the Lamed Tes Malachas on Shabbos. So if the concern over here is that if he's going to cover over every one of the holes in this beehive so that the bees will not be able to exit, so the Brisa doesn't have to tell us what about the Asana Mitzuda. Everybody and anybody knows that that's the halacha, there's a din of tzot. Says Yimar Mao, the same, I would think, no, that's not so simple. Beminoi nitzod osur. Shaloi beminoi nitzod is mutter. I would think that the halacha of tzot only applies to those types of livestock, animals, birds, fish, things of that nature, where it's the derech to be tzad. If people want to eat fish for Shabbos, somebody's got to catch the fish. And if somebody wants to eat a piece of meat, somebody's got to catch the animals or whatever. You have to go and do tzad. Mash'en kein, when you're talking about bees, people do not go around catching bees. Presumably, maybe today, since honey is a big industry, maybe people do catch bees today. But at least in the times of Chazal, that was not the type of thing that people would go around with nets to go and catch bees. So I would think, therefore, you're not over the malach of tzedah because it's not the derech to go and capture and catch bees. Kamash malon, no. That in fact, tzod doesn't apply only to things that you normally go and try to capture, but even those types of things like bees that people try not to capture or don't bother capturing. Fine, so that was a fairly lengthy discussion all about that braisa that says you can go and protect the beehive and the honey inside, but make sure not to damage or capture the bees. Now, how do we get into that discussion? We got into the discussion because we said it says in the Braisa, and then the Gemara said, during the summer months there's honey, but during the winter months there is no honey. So Gemara said it's talking about the two honeycombs. Yeah, but the two honeycombs are dedicated for the bees. It's talking about there are not so many bees, and therefore he had machshava to use that honey. Rav Ashi Yomai have a much simpler terrace. It doesn't say in that braisa that you're protecting the beehive during summer and during winter. It's talking about the period of time during the year where it's sunny and or when it's raining. What does that mean? Which means for instance, during April time and during September time. Where on the very same day you could have both Cham, you could have sun, and you can have Geshem, and you can have Geshem. And therefore in both of those months, there is Dvash, there is honey. In the September you have the collection of Dvash from the whole summer, and in April you have the beginning of the new dvash because the crops have ripened and the pollen has come out and the bees now have a field day getting together the pollen and making honey, etc. So you don't need to come on to the dechukim that we said on the Amud Aleph that it's talking about with the two honeycombs which are dedicated for the bees, b'chishav aleihem, because we're not talking about real winter, we're talking about those months during the year when it's both possibly sunny and possibly rainy. Now the Mishnah said at the end, if you see there's a leak, you're allowed to go and put a pail, a bucket, to go and collect that leak. Tana, in the Smali Akli, what happens if the leak is such a bad leak that the entire bucket is now full to capacity? Shoyfech v'shoyner, you're allowed to go and pour it out and put it back again. And you don't have to worry about it. In other words, even if this happens 2, 3, 4, 5 times, the important thing is, Nehefsin Momoin, Chazal allowed us to go and protect the property by pouring out the glove and filling it up again. Now the Gemara tells us a story. Bei Rechaya di Abaya, Doluf. Rechaya means the mill. Bei Rechaya means the house in which the mill was stored. The room or the house that had in it the mill, which belonged to Abaya, Doluf, became leaky on Shabbos, and the rain started pouring in, and Abaya was concerned about that this Bei Rechaya, that these Rechaim, could ultimately be damaged. Now, mill, you think to yourself, that's usually stones or metal. How would that be damaged as a result of the leak? So it says Rashi, to keep the Rechaim in place, that it shouldn't move, that it should be not cemented in the ground, but at least stable. They used to put around it mud, and that mud would harden into some sort of like a protective force to keep the Rechaim in place so that it shouldn't move and stay intact. The problem over here is that if there's a leak, that leak is going to touch the dried mud. The dried mud is now going to dissolve into liquidy mud, and now the whole Rechaim can go on platz. And that's what Abaye was concerned about. So Ozla came to Rabbi, he went and asked Rabbi, both his stepfather as well as his Rebbe, and Omalei says, Rabbi, I have an eitzah for you. Zil aile lepuriach lohasam. Go and bring your bed into that room where the Rechaim was, and then when you're going to bring the bed in, then you're going to say, I can't possibly sleep, or I can't possibly eat, remembering that beds were used in the olden days also in dining rooms. That's the whole inyan of the Heseba that we have on Pesach night. And then the person is going to say, I can't eat or sleep here because maybe because there's a noise, or maybe because it's a davar ma'us as he sees the water leaking and causing so much mud to accumulate. And then what are you going to have? You're going to have a graf shorei. Once you have a graf shorei, as you know, means the what we would call a potty chair, where it's shmutzik, you're allowed to remove the potty chair. So here you'll be able to go and remove the tlaf and cover over and make sure everything is fine. Afke means either take out the mill or take out the water and putting a kli. In other words, you have Eitzis once you put the bed inside the Beis Rechaim. Now Abaya was thinking to himself, are you allowed to go and cause such a situation? In fact, we had a Gemara earlier on that you're not allowed to make a graf sharei l'chadchila. If you remember, the Gemara said that there's a mandiyama that you're not allowed to invite goyim into your home for a drink or for a meal on Shabbos, because if you invite a goy, any wine that he's going to drink from his kois will automatically have the status of yayin nesach or stam yenam. It'll have a din of iser hano'ah, and then the meltzar, the waiter, won't be able to move it. And he won't be able to move it, then you'll have a problem of muktzah. So the Gemara asked, what's the problem? It's not worse than a graf shorei. The graf shorei is also something which is muktzah, and it's mo'us. Here, the shiurei koisais of the goy, if he leaves over any wine in the kos, that's the same thing as the graf shorei. And the Gemara says, v'chi oisin graf shorei l'chadchila. So Abai is a good point. So how can I go and put my bed there in that room and then say, oh, now I have a graf shorei? As Abai was speculating, ad hochi nofu beirechai de Abai. During that period of time, Nebuch, the whole Beirachaya fell apart and fell to pieces, and Abaya's worst nightmares materialized because he was being frummer than his Rebbe, than Rabba. Rabba says, I have an Eitzah, and Abaya was speculating, I'm not so sure that that Eitzah really works. Omar, now Abaya said in a moment of, if you will, introspection, Abaya said, Tasily, I deserved it. The Avri Adamar, that I violated what my Rebbe Rabba said. So now the question is, but isn't the bias concerned that Ein Oisin Graf Sharei L'Chadchila, isn't that a valid concern? So what's the answer to that? So Toisis already asked this kasha. If you look at the third Toisis, parallel to our Gemara, Av Gamrin Le'el B'Perek Yontif, the Ein Oisin Graf Sharei L'Chadchila, you're talking not allowed to. Either because there was just talking about inviting a goy to your house, don't say, well, I'm allowed to have him make the shiurei koisois, the kois full of the wine, which is also but no, it's going to be mukta. There, you cannot make a graf sharei l'chachila. Over here, there's a hefsed mammon, he's going to lose his whole beirechaya. This is money. So, therefore, Rabbi felt that the halacha doesn't apply over here. You are allowed to be oisin graf sharei because it's hefsed mammon. Or, oi mishum, glin mikh l'chadchila kol kach. In our case, it's not a l'chadchila. Here we're talking about that it's already raining. The rain is coming through, and it's going through the roof and through the chimney, and it's going to flood the Beirichai of Abaya. So this is already a b'di'evit situation. This is not a l'chadchila. It's like a shas of chak. So therefore, the two cases are not comparable. Back to the Gemara. Omar Shmuel. Six lines before the Mishnah. Omar Shmuel. Graf Shorei, the Abba Shabim Araglai, Mutaloi Tzion, Li Ashpo. A Graf Shorei means a parichir, which was used for rei. That means used for solids, for excrement, for tzoya. Avet shemir aglayim is what we would call today a urinal, like you see in the hospitals. Unfortunately, those that are in bed and they can't go to the bathroom, they use these urinals. So that's an avet shemir aglayim. Both of these, even though it's full of mukta, what am I going to do with the rei or with the meir aglayim? Mutzalitzim le'ashba, you let it go and remove it to the garbage dump out in the in the backyard type of thing. Ukshu machzirai. Now, what about, am I allowed to bring the graf and avit back? I would think, I can't, because I can only take it out because it was a graf shorei, it was a davar mo'us, and the chachamim said, take it out, otherwise it's going to be mitzayer people on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. But once I've removed it, maybe I cannot bring it back. So says the Braisa, says Shmuel, Shumachziri, you want to bring it back? No, he says, put some water in. By putting in water, it becomes now a basis ledobra hamutter, and the entire kli is going to become bottled to the water, and therefore you're allowed to go and bring it back in. Sabmina, says the Gemara, by the fact, so now the Gemara is focusing on the first part of Shmuel, that the Graf Sharei and Avich Meir Aglaim you're allowed to remove. Sabmina, Graf Sharei, Agamana in Bifnei Atzmaloi. What happens if, unfortunately, the child or the dog made Rei on the floor and didn't use the potted chair, but it's on the floor. Am I allowed to pick that up with my hands or with a tissue or with a napkin? Is that permissible? So I assume the answer is no. That only a graf shirei agamana in b'fnei atzmalai, only by using the kli, but not on its own. Toshema du achbarta v'yishtakach bei aspar marki derav ashi. They found an achbar. Achbar is a mouse or a rat that they found beis aspar marki. What's that aspar marki? Says Rashi, psamim. Apparently, Rav Ashi had a special psamim room, and you have the mice over there, and that threatened, I guess, to eat the psamim or ruin the psamim, to damage it. So Amalu Rav Ashi said, Noktu b'tzutzisa b'afkur. Even though the achbar is on its own, it's not in a graf or in an avit, you're allowed to go and pick it up by its tail. Tzutzisa means its tail, and afka, and remove it and get rid of it. And so therefore, Rei, the graf sherei is lav dafka graf and avit. You're allowed to even remove the rei and the meraglayim biyodayim, as opposed to dafka with a mana. Okay, on to the next mission. Our mission is going to tell us about a whole bunch of different isurim on yontif, which affect three categories: the category of shvus, the category of rishus, in the category of mitzvah. And Rashi explains that the difference between the three categories are that the shvus doesn't involve any mitzvah at all. Rishus involves a mitzvah, but Rashi says a ktsas mitzvah. Nishka ganze, nishka groise mitzvah, abissala mitzvah. And the third category is that, in fact, it is a total mitzvah, but nevertheless, it's osur on yatav. And the Mishnah will give us a number of examples of each one of the three categories. Zok to Mishnah. Kol shechayom ov mishum shvus, mishum rishus, mishum mitzvah. If you're talking about a situation that the Chachamim said is osur, all of these are derabbanan, that you're not allowed to do them either in the shvus category, rishus category, mitzvah, and they said that b'shabbos you're going to be chayiv, you won't be chayiv a deraisa, but you'll be chayiv for violating a drabanon, then chayov l'biyontif, the same halacha applies to yontif equally, no different shabbos or yontif. So tell me what the cases are. They lay mishum shvus. I'll tell you. A person wants to climb up the tree. A person wants to ride on an animal. A person wants to go swimming. A person wants to clap his hands. He wants to go and bang against his leg. He wants to dance. All of these are considered to be shvus. There is no mitzvah involved. I know some of them you might say, well, meraktan, maybe we're talking about meraktan with neakala. Maybe we're dancing because it's before Chusinkala, but we're talking about where there was absolutely no mitzvah involved. That's called the shvus. All of these things are prohibited. Why are they prohibited? The Mishnah doesn't say. The Gemara, however, as soon as we start, the Gemara is going to explain each one of them, what's the reason why it's osur midrabanan. So stay tuned for the Gemara. But as you can see, climbing up trees and riding on animals or swimming or doing all of these bangings and dancing, the Gemara considers that all to be shvus, osur on Shabbos and on Yatav. Ve'ilehim mishum rishus. The following are a shtikla mitzvah. Loi donin, v'loi mekachin, v'loi cholzin, v'loi miyabmin. Loi donin means you're not allowed to be a dayan to go and paskin a din Torah. I mean, obviously, if a person goes and asks you a shayla, and you're a ruv, you're allowed to answer the shayla. But to go and sit in a bezdin shtibah when you have two litigants, Reuven and Shimon, that you cannot do on Shabbos or Yom Tov. V'loi mekachin, you can't go and marry a woman on Shabbos or Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do a chalitza or a yibam. And those are considered to be rishus. And the Gemara is going to say, rishus? Getting married is a big mitzvah. A mitzvah peri verivia, as we all know. Yibam is also a mitzvah. L'hakim l'achiv shein b'Yisrael. Why is this only considered to be a ktsas mitzvah? The Gemara will ask that kasha shortly. Ve'ilei mishum mitzvah. The following are real big time mitzvahs which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Lo'i makdishin, lo'i marichin, lo'i machrimin, lo'i magbiin truma ma'iser. Makdishin, marichin, machrimin are all basically the same. Makdish, you go and take an item, say money or an article that belongs to your article of clothing, a table, a chair, gold watch, any one of those things, you're maktish for berik habayis, or marichen, you say erich ploini alai, you have the whole parsha of erichen in the Torah, where it depends on the person's gender and the person's age. When you say erich ploini alai, the amount that you have to go and give to the berik habayis, machrimen is that you're machrim, you're saying that this item should become chayrim. What's the status of something become chayrim? That's already a machloikis, where the stam charamim leberik habayis or stam charamim are to kahanim. Anyway, all of those things involve you're making something which until now was totally chol, and you're making now something kodesh. You're not allowed to do that in Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why not? L'choyitza mitzvah. Mi'at Hashem, we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow. And finally, you can be magbir truma meiser. We've already discussed that at some length in the past, that lifting trumas and meisers on Shabbos. What's the problem, Barry, with removing trumas and meisers on Shabbos or on Yom Tov? It looks exactly like tikkun mana, because until now you cannot eat the peiros because they're tevel. By going and removing the trumas and meisers, mina Torah, there's no problem. Midrabanan, it looks like you're fixing them, and now it's no longer tevel, and now it's edible. So that's why you can't do it. Finally, ein binyan to the Shabbos al oichel nefesh b'vod. The general rule is the only heter that you have for Yom Tov is oichel nefesh, like it says in the pasuk. You're not allowed to malacha. Ach hashiyachal oichel nefesh hu levad yosel lechem. Oichel nefesh is permissible. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to start analyzing each one of the cases and telling us why there is an isser on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because if you're going up the tree, you might come to remove one of the branches. If you remove a branch from a tree on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you're being over on the isser of koitzer. And even if you only did a bishogeg on Shabbos, then you'd be chayav achatas. We don't want people to go and be over isurim. So therefore, don't climb up the tree. You can't ride on an animal. Why? Maybe because you're going to go beyond the Tchum Shabbos. Tchum Shabbos being 2,000 Amis. If you're walking, you know how long it usually takes you to go 2,000 Amis. You have a feel for that. And therefore, you're not worried. You're allowed to go on a Shpatzir on Shabbos, especially after eating the Chulentin Kugel Shabbos afternoon. You're allowed to go for a walk. There's no problem with that. You're not afraid he's going to go Chutz L'Tchum because the person knows more or less how far he's walking. However, once you're going on an animal, says Rashi, before you turn around, maybe beyond the Tchum, you didn't even realize it because the animal travels far more quickly than the person. And therefore... Oh! The kasha that you're asking is the next Gemara's kasha. You're mamish mechavin to all the amiroim in today's Gemara. So tomorrow shema minat chum diraisa lechoyre. You have to say chum is minat toyre because it's chum is midrabanan. Then this is a gzeira legzeira. Because worse comes to worse comes to worse. What do we say? You're now let it go on an animal. You know why? A gzeira because you might go beyond the chum. And if you go beyond the chum, you're over drabanan. So. You're making a gzeira to protect the din d'rabbanan. That's a gzeira d'gzeira. That's Rabbi's kasha. Says Yomar, you know you're right. Forget about that teretz. Brand new teretz. Now, it's not that you have to forget about it totally, because Barry will remind us that there is someone that holds that chumen is d'araisa. Who's that? Rabbi Akiva.
Rabbi
Akiva. Beautiful. Says therefore, Einoch Hanami, it's a good teretz, but it's only good teretz like Rabbi Akiva. What about everybody else that disagrees respectfully with the great Rabbi Akiva and hold that Chumen is only Drabbanan? Fine! Alexeira Shema Yachtach Zmoira, because the animal may be a little bit of a lazy animal, and the animal does not want to pick up speed, you may want to kind of stir it up and prod it, so you might go and cut off a Zmoira, a branch from the tree. So it's similar to the previous Gemara Shema Yitloish, also Shema Yitloish, Shema Yachtach Zmoira, he's going to go and take off a piece of wood and use it as a prod. Okay, well, taking off a piece of wood from a tree, clearly that's an iser of koitzer, so that's already a, not a gzeira, it's just one gzeira. V'loshot al p'riyamayim, why can't you go swimming? Gzeira shemiyasechov yishel shayotin. Because we're afraid that the person might then create a raft. In other words, he's not just swimming in a swimming pool, which is a relatively small volume of water. He might want to go and swim in the river. And then, once he's swimming already, he says, you know, it's such a beautiful day, Shabbos, I want to go and chazer all the daf by heart, And but I can't do that whilst I'm swimming. I'll put together a few pieces of wood, I'll make a raft, and I'll lie there in the sun, and it'll be geshmak, and I'll go through the whole Gemara again, the parallel between our Mishnah Meshivin to the Mishnah in the Sechta Shabbos Mafanin, the Shalosh Dalet Kupais, I'll go through all the Ishak Levitaria. So I'm afraid that the person might go and manufacture such a raft, and therefore, that's the Gzeira, you're not allowed to go swimming. What's the problem? Because if a person really gets into the mood and he starts clapping and dancing and all the rest, he says, you know what? Let's go and bring our harmonica. I don't have a harmonica. Well, we'll manufacture a harmonica. I know how to manufacture. We'll take a piece of wood and make a few holes and start blowing. And therefore, Shem Yitak and Kleishir, and that's why it's us. Rishus is no longer the first category of Shvus. It's Rishus. Freitimara, it's only Rishus? V'ha mitzvah k'ovid. A dayan should go and paskin and dintoyer. That's a grace of mitzvah on a dayan. So when it's Richa the Ika, the Odef Minei. We're talking about that he's not the great dayan of the town. He's not a major league dayan. He's only a minor league dayan. And so therefore he has to defer to greater dayanim than him. So from the Gemara, it would sound like that in fact, if you're the greatest dayan in town, that you would be allowed to be done a din Torah on Shabbos. So that Tosis, the last Tosis here on the Umut speaks about it, and Tosis says that he's Madaik from Rashi, that Rashi learns even if you have a greater dayan, the greatest dayan, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, lived in that town, it would be ushered to him too. Why? Because since Paskening in the Torah doesn't require a Rav Moshe Feinstein. You can have Rav Moshe Beinish, Rav Moshe Goldberg can also go and pasken. And as long as, of course, he's qualified. So therefore, it's no longer considered to be in the realm of mitzvah, it's a realm of rishus, because I don't have to pasken, somebody else can. Okay, the final case will in the Kachin. Don't make a Kiddushin on Shabbos or Yontif because that's a Dvar, not because. But it is a Dvar Rishus. That's a Dvar Mitzvah. For Mitzvah Kovit, he's getting married. It's the Mitzvah Spirit of Rivia. He's already married, already had a wife, and he already has children. He was already Mekayim, the Mitzvah Spirit of Rivia. The Gemara says that even if a person has been Mekayim, and he's now older, nevertheless, there's a Pasuk, Baboike Zra Ezarecho, Ula Erev, Al Tanach Yedecha, that even in later years a person should be married. It's not good to be all by yourself. One should get married. So even though you've produced children already, there's still Nechalta Mitzvah. It doesn't rise to that same level of mitzvah of Peri Berivya. It says Ocha Mitzvah. That's why the Mishnah refers to it as Rishus. But if he's getting married for the first time, that would be a case of mitzvah, and therefore it would go into the third category. What's the problem? Why can't you? Yetshem to be continued, Vayter tomorrow. In the meantime, any questions? Hearing none, I wish everybody a good Chodesh, and in Yetz Hashem, tomorrow we'll start once again at 8:05. Please try to be on time so we can start punctually.